Introducing Free Speech to Free Minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome to Master Libtard Theater. Today's selection is A Modest Proposal by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the New Green Deal, but it's not enough. Even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough.
It's a woman's body, and she should not be forced to carry anything inside of it. It wouldn't make her keep a tapeworm. That has a heartbeat.
So you're comparing a baby to a tapeworm?
A fetus is a parasite, sweetie.
That is not what a fetus looks like, okay? It's a clump of cells at 12 weeks.
You think that it is the white man's duty to fix everybody's problems, right?
How many did you adopt?
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
We need to eat the babies, and this is very serious. Please give a response.
Okay, thank you. No, thank you, thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. It's no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think yeah, no, so one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present.
So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem.
It's pretty evil of you, sir.
Yeah, I am.
And I hope and pray that you...
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do to babies, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
You love it, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I hope that you come to Christ, sir.
Oh, I never go to Christ.
I hope that you come to Christ,
no,
sir.
No, I don't go to Christ.
Yeah, you...
I don't listen to Christ.
You will have a darkened heart, sir.
I do have a darkened heart, yeah.
You have a darkened heart.
I do, very, very much so.
And you will stand before God in judgment
yes,
day.
Yes, I will, every day.
You will stand before God in judgment
yes, day. Yes, I will, every day.
All of the babies that
I
you
love
have
it.
Killed.
I love it.
Yeah, keep tearing the babies
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, I will.
Keep tearing the babies
I
apart.
I will.
Yeah, I still pay to kill babies, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you get your abortions paid for?
I pay for them.
I thought
really?
You said
how many
three.
You pay for?
Upwards of 50.
Really?
So when do we cut off abortions? At what week?
I think at 3 years old is when we should.
I also had my first abortion at the Seattle Planned Parenthood. Yay!
State lawmakers approved a law permitting abortion in the state for any reason until the 24th week of pregnancy and then up until birth.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
There was a question over here.
Are you for third trimester abortions?
My answer to you is that should be a decision that the woman makes.
There's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. Is it okay to still have children?
How do you justify the decision to allow Planned Parenthood to rent in this city for free?
Deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
I'm not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. No. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think
I thought you really cared.
Yeah, no. So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
We are never beyond hope. Now, we see our headline says AOC nods her head, and she certainly does. She actually shows a great deal of empathy towards this person. It's an unbelievable video. I just caught it this morning. It skipped by a lot of us here for a few hours. The opening video is a video on band.video that we got out, I believe, last night. And that title is "These People Are Demented, A Modest Proposal, AOC, AOC Edition." There you have it right there on band.video. So go to band.video if you want to check that out, if you want to see the whole video. And all of our other great videos. It's our brand new site. It's looking pretty sharp. We're all pretty happy with it right now. So, let's get into this video a little bit. Get rid of the babies. Distraught woman at AOC town hall urges eating babies to fight climate change. This was in Queens, New York. This happened yesterday at a town hall meeting. Talking about this ridiculous. We have 10 years left to live, climate change scare. Now, when I first saw it, my suspicion is that this was some type of theater. This was maybe some type of old school, classic liberal political theater, which whether it was or whether it isn't, it still reveals the end goal here, you know, turning everyone mad, activating the world's mentally ill. But after further examination, I don't think this woman was a classic liberal political theater stunt at all. I think you can watch the whole C-SPAN video before she's waiting her turn, and she's kind of shaking and frightened and afraid and distraught. Distraught is a good word, I think. She's definitely an activist. I mean, she went through the trouble of making this T-shirt. She went through the trouble of coming up with her slogan and everything. But let's dissect her words. I mean, because this, in my opinion, is the goal. This right here, this woman is the intended result of this recent Green New Deal, 10 more years to live. That's exactly what they wanted to produce right there. So she says, "We're not going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left." And that sounds crazy, but that's what they're saying. 10 years is you know, roughly a few months. I mean, one could argue 10 years is pretty fast. I'm trying to snap. Can't get a good snap there. A few months left. I love that you support the Green New Deal, but it's not going to get rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor said we can eat dead people, but it's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan needs to be this. We've got to start eating babies. And the whole time she's saying this, you get an empathetic nod from Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, what's she going to do? She can't really argue with this woman because this woman, according to the new, you know, quote unquote scientific data that no one talks about, people just blurt the word science as if it's some type of meaningful word. According to that, we got 10 years left before we're all dead unless we do something. So if that wasn't crazy enough, now we're getting the results of this in this woman here. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. She went on. She said, all of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now. Please. And then to AOC, you are so great. I'm so happy that you are supporting a Green New Deal, but it's not enough. Even if we were to bomb Russia, it's not enough. That's where my red flag started going up right away as far as theater. But, I mean, that still falls in line for the mentally ill. The mentally ill is also going to fear Russia because for 2 years we've been hearing that, you know, we've been basically conquered by Russia in some type of secret takeover. So if the mentally ill is going to, if their minds are going to be poisoned with this whole we have 10 years left to live, then, you know, why not fear Russia? And to the point where even if we were to bomb Russia, it's not enough. There's too many people, too much pollution, so we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies just isn't enough. We need to eat the babies. This is very serious. Please give a response. And, AOC's response really was just simply, we have a little more time where we don't have to do that just quite yet. I mean, it's kind of hard not to say that that wasn't her basic response there. She has to stick with her plan. And really, I'm saying this is the result they wanted to have. And that's kind of what we're going to try to get into on today's show, kind of going over that and hashing that out, at least the way I see it. She's got a point. AOC's talking about we got to get to net zero. When you look at net zero, what that means, and that's the equation the global warming people are talking about. That's when we see Bill Gates at the TED Talk talking about getting to net zero. And in the TED Talk, he makes it clear that the easiest way to get to net zero is getting rid of the people because everything else is sort of out of our control. And that's the video where he claims that vaccines are actually helping to meet that goal. But anyways, yeah, net zero means millions of people have to die. That's what net zero means. And, you know, they've been quietly talking about this for years, really ever since the old Al Gore days and before population control. And it's, you know, decades, you could say they've been talking about this. But now it's become pop culture. Now it's gotten to the point where the programming has worked so effectively that we have what seems to be, I mean, I don't know, but it seems to me like we have millions of people now that are buying into this and are repeating this stuff and believing that, yeah, we have to stop having babies. We have to kill more babies. We have to have more abortions. And now we have to start eating the babies. I mean, this is, you know, I suppose if you feel you need to trim the population, probably the easiest way to do it, if it's possible, is to sort of program everyone to self-destruct, to destroy each other. And we are witnessing a very strange and unique time where we are seeing that this is a reality, that you can program a person's mind through the television, through pop culture, through the media. And, you know, President Trump's talking about how the media is corrupt. If this isn't corrupt, then I don't know what is. We'll be back after this break, breaking this down. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back. You are watching or listening to the David Knight Show. I am Greg Reese, sitting in for David Knight on this Friday morning. So our headline, we're talking about, you have to eat the children. That's where we're at right now. We have to eat the children. We are literally turning into a horror movie. And those who are paying attention and present are going to learn quite a bit about humanity, about Earth. It's a very crazy time. So let's actually play that video one more time. The short video of the woman at the AOC town hall saying we have to eat children. Let's watch that one more time.
I'm not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. Even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response. Okay,
thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. It's so no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think yeah, no. So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
A Swedish professor said we can eat dead people, but it's not fast enough. And you know what? I mean, this woman's right. If we are to accept this idea that we only have 10 years to live, then I would say this woman's actually clever. She's probably done her math work. 10 years is not a long time. And if you look at the plan, if you look at the agenda, I mean, they're talking about, I say millions. I mean, I think the real number is billions. If you really look at what they're saying, they want to accomplish as far as this population decrease, as far as the sustainable level of humans. If you really want to be honest about it and look at the math and all the plans that have been put forward and all their documents, the number is billions. It seems like we're alive right now in a time of the big coal, not the mini coals, the big coal. We'll get into that a little bit later too, but billions that's a big number. That's a very ambitious goal. And 10 years isn't a long time. And so this woman, I think, is one of the few people that's actually done her homework. And she figured out, she doesn't have access to, viruses. She doesn't have access to poisoning vaccines, to poisoning the water. She doesn't have access to, weapons of mass destruction. So what does she do? She does what she can do. She comes up with the best idea that she can do to accomplish the problem of humans being pollutants. She might be mentally ill. She might be mentally disturbed, but she's not stupid. She's right. It's not fast enough. What are you going to do, AOC? And that's really, one of the things we could do to approach this is actually have a conversation about it. But, that's not happening with anything these days. During the break, one of the guys on the crew was telling me about a book he read. He was saying the same thing as I did. He said when he first saw it, he thought it was theater. But then upon closer examination that she was legit mentally ill, distraught. And so he told me about this book called Ishmael. It's a 1992 philosophical novel. And apparently some of his liberal progressive friends recommended this book. And it apparently is very popular. It does sound familiar to me. It is the winner of the Turner Tomorrow Fellowship. It's got a kind of a pretty picture of a leaf and a sun. Nice little sort of spiritual name, I guess, Ishmael. But anyways, what the book does is it suggests that the problem in the world is humanity and that the only solution is cannibalism, for us to just start eating each other. I see here highlighted, it's talking about problems in modern society such as human supremacy. And I guess I've heard that term before, but it makes me wonder now if that's why everyone in the world is being inundated with the white supremacy term, just to sort of slow move us into this eventual human supremacy. I suppose the white race gets blamed for a lot of the modernization of society, and one of the goals that these powerful elites and their potentially non-human masters, I don't know. We'll get into that a little bit this morning as well. Maybe that's just simply the goal. They want, they really only need enough of us so they can have marble floors, you know, so they can have crystal chandeliers, so they can have, you know, electricity and gas. And the rest of us, it'd be better off if there was a lot less of us and if we were living in the Stone Age. Third world problems would make things a lot easier, I think. Who are these people? We're going to start looking at that. Are they people? I mean, is it a human instinct ever to want to self-destruct? What causes a person to want to eat another person? Cannibalism. We see animals do it. We see other animals eat other, you know, members of their own species. Humans do it. There's humans that still do it. There are, I lived in New Zealand not too long ago, and I remember one of the stories in New Zealand was when the British were off the coast of New Zealand. When they first arrived, the Maori welcomed them ashore. They said they thought saw them as food. They said, oh, great, delicious, or, you know, I'm being a little silly, but they welcomed them ashore as food, and what they didn't realize is that they had guns. So it was pretty much over that quick. And so, I mean, what causes all this stuff? It's not simply media. It's not simply just people like AOC repeating thing madness like we have 10 years to live. It's not just that. These are tools used to stimulate something that already exists, something that's primitive, something that's innate in humanity. You can call it evil. You can call it darkness. And we are in a battle of good versus evil. And we are seeing the rise of evil. We'll see you later.
Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. The David Knight Show, your host, Greg Reese, on this beautiful Friday morning here from Austin, Texas, broadcasting out worldwide. Thanks for tuning in. Please check out our new site, band.video, for all the latest videos. It's pretty slick looking. You might just fall in love with it. All right, so I'd say we play that clip one more time. I just want to see that one more time. Let's play the clip of the distraught woman at the AOC town hall who figured out the math and figured out we're just not moving fast enough, and she's got, a grassroots solution. Let's play that clip.
not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the New Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response. Okay,
thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. It's so, no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think... Yeah, no. So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
We're going to keep playing that clip throughout the show today, as annoying as it might be, as disturbing as it might sound, for that very reason, because it's time to snap to attention, everybody, and realize that we're in the zombie world now. You know, our own people are not only their mental illness not only ignored, but exploited and abused and turned towards the dark side. You know, something occurs to me during my days of studying yoga. I remember hearing a wise man talk about the teachings of the Kali Yuga. In Hindu tradition, they believe there are cycles that occur throughout time, lasting thousands of years each. I believe it lines up to the precession of the equinoxes, but I'm not absolutely definitive on that. But the Kali Yuga is where they say we are right now, and I believe that is the Iron Age followed by a Golden Age. But the Kali Yuga is the bad one. The Kali Yuga is the cycle where basically everything is flipped upside down. Right becomes wrong. You know, we see it. We definitely see it in our government institutions. You know, we see, you know, the EPA is acting in exact opposite of how the EPA should be acting. The FDA, you know, all of our, everything's doing exactly the opposite of what you'd think it should be doing. But anyways, this wise gentleman who studied the scriptures about the Kali Yuga was quoting one scripture where he basically said that you'll know you're in the peak of the Kali Yuga when children are bred for the purpose of consumption, or when or something along those lines. And I mean, not only is that what this woman is, well, she's suggesting we consume our children to destroy the species so that we can survive climate change. But I mean, we're already consuming the children. When I heard that, when I first heard that from this gentleman, that you know, you'll know you're at the peak of the Kali Yuga when people are breeding children to consume them, I remember thinking, well, that's horrifying. It was a despicable, horrifying thought. And I also thought, well, thank God we're not there. You know, because that sounds bad. We're bad already, but that sounds bad. But then, and this was only a few years ago, and in the past few years, I've come to realize that, I mean, we are already there. I mean, Planned Parenthood is now coming out that they are, the consumption of babies, whether it's the consumption for profit, for organ sales, for scientific experiments,
you know, whether that we're consuming that, whatever we're consuming them for. Some people believe that we have a soul. And with that belief comes a certain respect, a certain sacred outlook on other humans, and especially on newborn babies. And I suppose maybe it's possible that if you just didn't, maybe some people don't believe we have a soul, and so to them it's just a pollutant, like this woman says. Or some people call these, some people call human babies parasites. And so maybe if you are of that spirit where you can actually feel that way, then consuming the babies is maybe a efficiency. But I can speak for myself, and I think it's safe to say that anyone who believes that there is a soul that that incarnates into this world with purpose and with will, then this is hideous. And it's starting to manifest itself more and more in the masses. And, you know, it like I said, at first when you see this woman talking about we got to eat the children, it sounds ridiculous at first. But and if you've been paying attention the past few years, you realize it's not ridiculous. It's predictable. I mean, this is it's coming right on cue. And, you know, I was in, college maybe 10 years ago, briefly, mostly out of curiosity. And after studying privately with people like Alex Jones, I wanted to see what the mainstream was saying. And one of the things I learned in college is that this agenda has been being pushed a long time. And I had a geology professor, and in the geology textbook, and this was 2009, it's a brand new textbook. I don't know when the whole global warming thing started, but it wasn't much earlier than 2009. But these textbooks had, I believe it was the first chapter, it was called Global Warming, and it had the whole story. And everyone in the class questioned the professor. That was one of the most encouraging things I learned from my experience in college, is that it seems like the majority of young people aren't idiots. Not completely. Because when you would see madness like this in the classroom, then everyone pretty much would have their hand up questioning. And why are you teaching this in a textbook as if it's fact? And the response was priceless. The response was the professor chastising the entire class, getting angry, yelling at us, basically saying it's proven science. And this was back in 2009. So you got to wonder what kind of payoffs was the professor getting, probably little vacations or whatever. Who knows? Or maybe they're just zealots. You know, there's the UT professor who said that we all need to basically die with a virus. A lot of people have been saying this for decades. It's not anything new. And if you go back into history, and we're going to look in that in the second hour, you'll see that this is a recurring theme. It comes up throughout history. This isn't the first time this has come up. It might be the first time in recorded history that it's coming up this big. Or maybe that's just our ego telling us so. We'll see you after the break.
Crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies, and this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you.
Now, if you're a radio listener, she's wearing a T-shirt that says, "Save the planet, eat the children."
It's a catchy slogan.
And during the break, once again, one of the crew members said something I thought was very interesting, which I agree with. He was saying basically this type of mental illness attracts other mental illness, something along those lines. And I would agree. I would say that's perhaps one of the laws of nature. Like attracts like. Just the other day, we were having a conversation. Someone was saying how a positive thinking, a healthy, balanced human being will attract other people to become healthy and balanced. And, people that are weak and imbalanced will attract other people to fall to weakness and stuff like that. And same thing. I think it's, you can call this entropy. I think you can call this in chemistry when it comes to like water, warm water will warm up water next to it. Cold water will cold up, whatever. And I think that's the game. I think that's part of the plan, the experiment. I don't think this has ever actually been implemented like this before. Trying to, it's almost like an entire population has been programmed and brainwashed through the television and through pop culture. And now they're at a point where they're seeing if they can activate everyone, trigger everyone, sort of like, bring everyone awake. And what I'm holding in my hand here is just one of several articles about the Joker movie. This one is, the headline is, "Movie Theaters Adjust Their Bag Dress-Up Rules as Concerns About Joker and Violence Simmer." And I'm sure everyone, you've heard about all these Joker articles. There's several of them. And, this is also something that's unprecedented. I mean, it's pretty much well known that, for example, with serial killers, there was always a talk that you, mass murders and stuff, you wouldn't advertise their name. You wouldn't try to celebrate too much because you risk the run of copycats. I mean, some of us do understand a little bit about human psychology, and some of us want to try to avoid mass chaos and violence. And so certain things will attract chaos and violence. And it seems to me, and it's, everyone's been talking, and everyone's been talking about it. So it is that this hype over how the Joker movie is most certainly inevitably going to, bring a repeat of the Aurora shooting or is sinister. I would say that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to trigger and activate all of the zombies. I've talked about it before. When I was younger, there used to be mental institutions. Not even mental institutions. That sounds pretty, mental institutions sounds pretty dramatic. Mental wings of hospitals. Like every hospital would have like an adult psychiatric unit and an adolescent psychiatric unit. And it was not shameful or uncommon for anyone to spend any time in, maybe a little. Well, embarrassing, but no big deal. But it was common. I knew several people. I spent a little time, which isn't a huge surprise to people that know me. And it's good for you. I mean, the mental state of our lives is as important as anything else. As important as our physical state. As important as, arguably, it could be the most important. Everything starts in the mind. And they don't have those anymore. I remember the ones in my town I started seeing disappearing in the 90s, I think. Yeah, definitely in the 90s. I think they were going away. That was in Cleveland, Ohio. So my guess is that was happening nationwide. And so what happened to all these people? Well, and now we see them on the streets and the homeless. We see them at town hall meetings, talking about we have to eat all the children. We see them in mainstream media talking about how the Joker movie is going to cause violence.
almost hoping to trigger the zombie army. So, as crazy as it sounds, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. And once you can accept the reality of evil, once you can accept the reality that there is a spiritual battle going on, then everything sort of falls into common sense purview, in a, you know, as opposed to the chaos that if you weren't looking through it through that lens. And one of those things is would seem that that was part of the plan, was to get rid of the, stop treating the mentally ill. I mean, we already do. Even when they had those, that wasn't the greatest thing. I mean, I would argue that if we were in a golden age, we would raise our children from grade school to understand their mind. We would raise them to understand how their mind can trick them, how their mind can fool them, how other people can then trick and fool their minds. And most importantly, how if you're not aware and in practicing self-awareness and being present, then you are a victim to mind control. If we taught these things in, you know, grade school, then this game wouldn't work. And so it would seem, and we're going to get into this in the next hour, if there were non-human entities behind this, and you could look at this from almost any perspective, it doesn't have to be a spiritual perspective, it could be from a science fiction perspective or whatever, then it explains a lot of this stuff, like how you could plan things out this long. You know, decades of plan. You know, it's a slow, methodical, or it could be something that's just a program that's accessed. It's all basically, I would argue, the same thing, just looking at it from different perspectives. We're going to look at just a few perspectives about it in the next hour, about the whole good versus evil battle. Right now, we're going to plug. I mean, I'll tell you what, we are about to get into what looks like a bigger, more dramatic, more crucial election year than 2016. And when you look at what's happened in the past 2 years, it's a miracle that InfoWars is still here. We've survived several attacks, some of which we can't really get into. We don't have the, you know, I'm not at liberty to discuss some of them, but we are definitely under attack. We have the Black Friday sale going on right now. The best thing is to keep InfoWars alive during the next year. It almost looks like Hillary Clinton might be running. There are mainstream pundits now saying that she might enter the race. And the difference between then and now is that right now, everyone's almost politically awakened. And so it is the information war. That's exactly what it is. We are battling propaganda and lies with as much truth as we can try to manage from our, you know, ragtag crew and from our audience. So right now, more than ever, we need your support. We need your support to keep us alive. Now, the good news is in return for your support, we are offering amazing products. I've been back on the track of getting healthy. I've been getting ready for this year. This year is going to be information warfare. And so I've been getting myself in fighting shape, and I've been doing it with a lot of our great products. And I'll tell you what, they work. I do the Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and I do some other supplements. The DNA Force is great. The Super Male Vitality is one of my favorites. The Bone Broth, couldn't live without. So seriously, we need your support. It's because of our audience that supports us that we've survived. There's no way we could have survived all the attacks that we've had if it was not for you. And we still need your help. We're about to enter into a serious battle this year. And unless something dramatic happens, like major arrests, and we've been talking about that for 2 years now, unless something like that happens, then we are going to be in the fight of our lives. And if they take InfoWars off, all bets are off.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. The David Knight Show. Your host, Greg Reese, sitting in for David Knight today on this Friday. broadcasting worldwide from Austin, Texas. And we're talking about the high strangeness and weirdness and the mentally ill and the battle of good versus evil, the way it's manifesting with this Green New Deal, AOC's Green New Deal. You know, when we first heard about 10 years to survive, it was funny. It was a joke. It seemed silly. And now we're starting to see it's not that funny. I mean, there are people that have put their trust into our leaders. There are people that have put their trust into the television, into pop culture. There are people who would probably be emotionally brokenhearted if they were to learn that they're being lied to. And so that fear of heartbreak keeps them asleep. But on some level, I think everyone understands the seriousness of what we're up against. It's just that some are asleep and some are awake. So this hour we're going to get into a little bit. You know, before I saw this video, which we'll play in the opening of next segment, just to get back into it, we want to keep repeating the theme here, reminding ourselves that we are in the thick of it now. And we need to start thinking about helping our fellow brothers and sisters that are lost and astray. But before I saw this, I was going to kind of get into a lot of the recent articles on UFOs, aliens, and stuff like that. We're starting to see a lot of that in the past couple of years come up more mainstream, sort of more pushed as something that's not, you know, I mean, for most of our lives, we've grown up having it ridiculed. And that's starting to change. And, you know, we'll get into maybe what that is and why it's being pushed and what these things are. What are these lights in the skies and these hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of stories of aliens and alien abductions and UFO sightings for anyone who wants to go down that rabbit hole? And I think the conclusion we're going to come to is simply, once again, that this is something very real. This is, you could call it spiritual. I tend to use the word spiritual. You could also call it interdimensional. And we're going to get into that too. I think those words are probably fairly synonymous when we talk about this type of thing. The interdimensional is basically suggesting that there is something real that is not physical. Something that is just as real as this physical reality. However, it's not physical, and you can't measure it through material means. And that is sort of the spiritual world or the interdimensional world, what have you. And that's another thing that's interesting, is we're in an age now where I think most people are starting to accept that that is real. They might not use the word spiritual. The atheists wouldn't use that word, but the word interdimensional is something that's become pushed and accepted by modern science. And even the idea of these aliens being interdimensional, which then makes them completely indistinguishable from the the angels and the demons and the fairies that have been through human history for thousands of years. So we're going to get into that in the next segment and see maybe why this is being pushed so much. Why are people being prepared or, you know, programmed now to believe not only in aliens, but to believe that maybe we'll be seeing aliens someday soon. Join us after the break.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Hey,
because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies, and this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. It's no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think yeah, no. So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
Now, if you watch the video and you can see it, you'll notice that no one in the room ever gets all that freaked out or shocked or, you know, angry or horrified. You see a bunch of people that look like, you know, a deer in the headlights, but, you know, and the reason why is because basically what she's saying is right on cue. I mean, what she's saying is part of the script, and what she's saying makes sense. Anyone in this room is likely at this town hall because either to see a circus show or because they accept the idea that we have 10 years to live unless we, you know, completely cripple ourselves and go back to the Stone Age. And so they're already believers, and so I can't imagine any of them being incredibly shocked with what she's saying. So let's bring that tweet back up, the at Firepower News tweet. And folks, you know, we're under attack here all the time. We are, you know, doing our best in the war against social media. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to retweet this tweet right here. This is from at Firepower News, Will Johnson Show. These people are demented. A modest proposal, AOC edition. This is the video that we opened the show up with, and we'll be playing this later in the show this morning as well. We want you to read. If you're on Twitter, just send this everywhere. If you're on Facebook, you can find this article, Infowars.com, and send it out on Facebook. I mean, it's getting to be a horror show at this point. So let's talk about UFOs a little bit in this segment. We're going to just do a little bit of a brief history of the UFO alien phenomenon in this segment. And then we can get into more of the reality of what this actually is. So, you know, a lot of articles coming out just in the past week. There's like, I got the Daily Beast talking about Skinwalker Ranch. Why do UFOs love this Utah ranch so much? There's a lot of great information and documentaries you can find online about Skinwalker Ranch, which also seems to be validated by U.S. military and other private organizations that have researched it. Fleet of strange glowing objects seen off a North Carolina coast in a baffling clip. This is recommended. This is just a still shot, but this is probably fairly easily found. I think I found this on Drudge. And it is one of the better UFO videos you're going to find. And it's not uninteresting. And then there's this falling fireballs crashed in Chile last week. They weren't meteorites. mystery objects falling from the sky. And these are just, there it is. There's the image. Now, there's a video of that. You got to check the video out. I would consider myself somewhat of an expert on the UFO phenomenon, and I would say that's one of the better videos. It's pretty good. So if you go down the rabbit hole of the alien thing, and I did in earnest, probably shortly after I was woken up by Alex Jones in the Bohemian Grove. Around the same time, I was getting into some David Icke, and I became very intrigued by the whole alien thing, and so I started doing my research. And this is before, the History Channel made it sort of a pop culture thing. I was going to my local library, getting out VHS tapes, and it was a fascinating journey. And in a nutshell, you could say, it mostly started, the extraterrestrial alien thing mostly started in the modern times, before Roswell. It started in science fiction, and then Roswell. There's a guy named George Adamski, a fascinating character in this whole drama. He's a Polish-American. He's listed as a science fiction writer, but if you look deeper, he was actually a language professor who somehow attracted a lot of UFOs. A lot of his stuff looks kind of funny. I wouldn't go as far as to say fake, but they could look fake. They're funny looking. There is footage, and I wish I had it. I've actually looked for it for several years since I saw it the first time, because it's one of the best things I've ever seen, and it's something that it seemed like it would be very hard to fake. But he has footage that he claims was taken from a spaceship out orbiting the moon through a window of the spaceship. And it's almost a waste of time to say it if I can't show it, because, I mean, what's it worth? But I'll tell you what, it's one of the best things I've ever seen. It made me really think about it. He's also met with people that he says were aliens, and I guess he says he's been doing it since he was a kid. But probably the most interesting thing about George Adamski is that there is evidence, there's proof that he was invited to the United Nations to discuss these things, and he was a invite to the Vatican, apparently, to discuss his experiences with these alien races, which doesn't mean any of it's real. It simply means that it's being presented to us as something that's real. This was around the time before it became ridiculed. This is around the time, if you go back to like the 50s and stuff, it was kind of a common sense thing that there's probably aliens out there. And then it was shortly after this, sometime in the 50s and the 60s, when they started the program of ridiculing, the tinfoil hat. If you believe in aliens, you're a kook and kind of thing. And then they started showing it. There he is, George Adamski. Now, that's the ship. There's several images of this same kind of looking ship. And what I mean by funny, now that I'm looking at it, is it looks man-made. It doesn't look like you would expect some type of foreign alien thing. It looks like it's a steel ship made on Earth. And he's got several kinds of videos of these. He claims he's been on the ships. He claims he's talked to the people. So who is he talking to? It seems like there is humans and there are non-humans involved in this story. We'll get into it after the break. Welcome to the David Knight Show. I'm your host today, Greg Reese. No one told me about her. And we are talking about the Army of the Insane being activated by dark forces today on planet Earth. We are not living in boring times at all. We were just talking about George Adamski. What we're kind of getting into here is the history of how the story of aliens and UFOs has been presented to the masses. So George Adamski sort of represented a time where it was being told to people as if it's real, you know, before the ridicule came. Adamski's photographs suggest almost a sort of a human technology. Some people even argue it could be the Nazi UFOs. They don't look dissimilar to the Vrils, the Bell Project, the Nazi Bell Project and whatnot. But to me, what's most interesting was it basically, like I said, it represented a time where it was legit. And then shortly after that, it became ridiculed in pop culture. If you were if you talked about UFOs or aliens, you were a kook. And that led up, you know, I would say into the 90s even. I think it was the 90s when the History Channel became, well, first the History Channel became the Hitler Channel, where it was just showing nothing but World War II and Hitler documentaries. And then it became the Alien Channel, started showing, you know, stuff about ancient aliens and aliens, which is interesting because is that really history? And so this kind of was the phase while it was still being ridiculed, and then it was being, you know, submitted to us on a you know, cable television, you know, back and forth. And now we're currently seeing it presented to us as if it's real. And most people, I think we're at the point now where most people just accept that aliens are real. I think this is cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is a psychological effect where you present a person with two contradicting realities. And what this does, it's a simple psychological tool. What it does is it sort of traumatizes the person and confuses the person, and it really only works effectively, I think, on the more sleepy ones. And what it does is it just creates a sense of a trauma and a sense of confusion to where the person doesn't know. And then they become more reliant upon the official voice. They become more reliant on the official narrative, where they then will just accept whatever they're told. It's just sort of, it's a way of weakening the mind, a way of weakening critical thinking. And then really it's just lying to someone and traumatizing them with deceit. But that's what it seems like over time, is there's been this cognitive dissonance program on UFOs and aliens. And now we are being presented that they are, that they're real. And I think I've heard a lot of people say that they wouldn't be surprised at all if all of a sudden the UFO showed up and the aliens came to save us. Some people are even saying that they're going to come and save us. They're going to teach us how to live. The other probably most interesting thing, if you want to research into this, is alien abductions. I would say that's where half my time was spent, because you can just go on and on and on. There's thousands of people that have had experiences of alien abductions. And they're all very, there's a lot of similarities. And what's even more interesting, and this is where we start bridging into the spiritual or the interdimensional, is what is known as, I believe, night tremors or sleep paralysis. There's various names. There's a documentary that you can watch. It's called The Nightmare. I believe it might be on, I'm not gonna promote any networks out there, but it's called The Nightmare, and it's a documentary. I don't know, it came out roughly 5 years ago, something like that. For one, if you're a film fan and if you're a horror fan, you're going to enjoy it, because it's one of the only documentaries I've ever seen that actually is scary. And it's a bit of a creepy documentary, and it was fun to watch. But what's really interesting is the comparisons, the parallels between night tremors and the alien abduction experience. Anyone who knows anything about the alien abduction experience, even just from reading casually, I think will recognize it right away when they see this movie, The Nightmare. And what's interesting about The Nightmare is I think they even say statistically half of us have experienced these night tremors, the sleep paralysis. It's been documented for centuries. There is a famous picture of like a little demon sitting on someone's chest staring at them, something like that. And this is a depiction of this ailment. They used to consider it an illness. And I find that is true because I've had this conversation with several people since I saw that movie, and easily half the people I talked to confirmed that they're like, I used to get that. Most people I've talked to said they used to get it and they don't get it anymore. I think I talked to a few people that said they still get it. And it's legitimate. The people that I talked to that have experienced it were uncomfortable as soon as I started talking about it. As soon as I brought the subject up, you could sense this discomfort. Now, what are the similarities? The similarities are simply that they are in their beds at night, typically, when these entities come in. Usually before the entities enter the room, they are frozen where they can't move. The entities enter the room, of they have some type of human form or something similar to human form, speaking in sort of scary voices. The experiences are very similar as far as what the voices are saying, as far as what the actual experience is. I mean, I would argue if you took the nightmare documentary and you just edited it into an alien abduction documentary, then no one would ever notice because the people are all saying the same things. The other very interesting thing about this documentary is at the end, they talked to the people that were able to eradicate this from their lives, and they all did it through Jesus Christ. They all did it through prayer and through calling on Jesus Christ's name to end it, through faith in Christianity. Some of them were already Christians. Some of them became Christians out of a desperation to fight this experience. They all considered the experience evil. And this is the point, I guess, of this hour's discussion on aliens, is that when you look at so-called aliens, the big picture, it would seem as if they are just non-human entities that have been here longer than us, or as long as a long time. It doesn't seem as if these are creatures that are coming in from some other planet, you know, that want to save us or destroy us or both. That seems to be some type of mainstream fictional narrative to sort of dress up and make evil look a little more approachable. To perhaps even get it to the point where we could celebrate and invite and welcome evil when it shows up in the spaceships. Bow down and worship it. We'll see you after the break.
Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's the David Knight Show.
We're not going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough.
The babies are the big problem.
We need to eat the babies.
Please give a response. Like we said, this is the intended result of the new Green Deal scare. 10 years left to live and everything. This is an excellent example of how this works. I mean, things are not evil. Evil is within us. Evil is an energy, a spirit, if you will, that exists in each of us. I would say everything is God, and so evil is a part of God. But there are things that can make us weak to where we fall to the darkness, to where we fall to the, that's the game that we're playing here in life, is to try to keep ourselves strong and balanced so that we avoid falling into darkness. When you fall into the darkness, you lose yourself, and you become a slave to whoever's nearest, whatever's most powerful, because you've given up your power. And so communism, I would say, is just an ideology. It's not evil, but what it does is it puts you in a situation that's ripe to where we can fall to the darkness. As in contrast to that, when you live in a society that promotes individualism, promotes humility, in a relationship to a creator or a power greater than oneself, this tends to cultivate a atmosphere and a culture that is more, leans more towards being balanced and strong and avoiding the pitfalls of darkness in our life. And so everything is being made ripe for us to fall. And who's doing it? Is it just a bunch of greedy elitists that came up with some type of James Bond villain plan? Or is it a bigger program that exists on Earth? Is it a spiritual nature? Is it something we're being led to by something non-human? So that's what we've been talking about this hour, is the alien phenomenon. And is it really alien, or is it something that's actually innate to this planet and has been here as long as we have, if not longer? We were talking about the comparisons between alien abductions and night tremors, which seem to be the exact same experience. And the people that have experienced it would describe it as sort of a, not sort of, but as a good evil. Horror nightmares that come to life. My own experience, I think, validates this. I'll share my own experience. During this time when I was obsessing over my research into UFOs, I wanted to see a UFO. I wanted, and I never even bothered trying to see one or thinking of seeing one. And I was on a bit of a spiritual journey. I was at the first time I did it, I was at a Tibetan Buddhist temple site in the short mountains of Sonoma County, California, doing some temple building work. And I was looking up at the stars, and I said, it was just as simple as me saying to myself in my head, I want to see a UFO, and then looking up. And then as soon as I looked up, I saw what at first looked like you would call a shooting star, and then it did a immediate right turn and then buzzed off. And more than anything, it was like a joke, because it was as if the universe or God or the world we live in just has a sense of humor, because I've never seen a UFO before, and here I am, the first time I really ever had the conscious thought, I want to see something. I look up, boom, I see it. So that was the first time. Second time, it was basically the same exact experience. I was somewhere else. I said, I want to see a UFO, and I look up, and I see another unexplainable light in the sky. Kind of weird. And it's piquing my curiosity, and I want to know more. Now, the third one, I think, is the most interesting as far as what we're talking about here today. The third one, I got after much frustration of not actually seeing one close enough, or, being able to get on board and go for a ride. I made it a goal that I was going to, this is when I was living in Cleveland, and I just said I was going to go to the Lake Erie every day, and I'm going to sit down at 5 a.m. and I'm going to sit and meditate, and I'm going to stare straight out into the lake, and I'm going to call a UFO to me. I'm going to summon one. And on the third day, within a short few minutes of sitting down to meditate, it started off, I saw a tiny little dot start growing up right where I was looking. It's just straight ahead of me, perfectly in my straight view. A small little dot of light starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was coming closer and closer and closer. And the way I reacted, I think, was God intervening in my life. I got very excited. I started jumping up and down almost like a monkey. And as soon as I got excited, it disappeared and it went away. That was the last time I tried doing that. At the time, I stopped doing it simply because my heart, my intuition, I think, led me. I just lost interest at that point. I said, I don't want to finish, follow through with that looking back on it, it seems in all three experiences, the light came to me when I was calling it, when I was calling upon it, when I was inviting it. And it almost feels like if that third time, if I would have stayed calm and not started jumping around like a monkey, and I would have just kept at it, who knows, this light could have come all the way up to me. It could have enveloped me, like you hear several people who have experienced this describe. And what's the takeaway on this? And the takeaway on this is it seems almost to me that we are being fed this narrative of aliens and UFOs as a way of reframing the djinn, the demons, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, whatever you want to call them, the non-human rulers of Earth, or the shepherds, who knows? Basically, it's being reframed for us to invite into our lives something that we ought not invite into our lives. Something that if we were more awake and present and aware of things, we would realize these things do not serve us. They actually look for us to serve them. It is an invitation to let go of our self-will, to lose our balance, and to end up like this woman who took the time to print up t-shirts saying that we need to save the planet, eat the children. We are being led to destruction. We are being led down a road to cannibalism, to anti-humanism, to total self-destruction. And this is the Luciferian agenda. This is, call it what you will, if it makes you uncomfortable to talk about Satanism or Luciferianism or evil, then, I mean, it doesn't matter. Call it what you will. That's what the goal of this energy is. That's what the goal of this ideology is to destroy and to replace. To destroy and to replace. And it can do both at the same time. And right now it's trying to get us to destroy ourselves, make ourselves the enemy, and end human supremacy on Earth. For what reason? Simply to destroy and to replace. That's what evil does. We'll see you after this break. Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I am your host today, Greg Reese, broadcasting out of Austin, Texas, USA, worldwide. Thanks for joining us. We've been covering this latest development, this poor, distraught woman at the AOC town hall talking about how we need to eat our children to save the planet, save the environment. And things are just getting crazier. And we've been talking about the spiritual nature of it, the history of aliens, and how aliens is sort of a reframing of something very ancient that's been around for a long time that seeks to interfere with our free will and lead us into darkness. You could call this evil. You can call it the dark side. It's probably the biggest theme in all of human history. So after, I would say, my obsessions and research into the whole alien history and phenomenon probably ended, climaxed in the reading of a book called Gods of Eden by William Bramley. I always highly recommend this book. I read this book like three times, and I don't really rarely ever reread a book. But it was just fascinating, and he just laid it all out in a way that's very clear. But basically, the story of Gods of Eden is William Bramley. It was a historian, officially before trained as a historian before he wrote this book. And his intention was to write a book On the violence of humanity and why mankind has been so violent to each other. And so he started doing his research. And in the introduction of this book, he explains that he kept coming into the same thing and it disturbed him. What he kept coming to in his research seemed to be something that was non-human, that was intervening and manipulating the human race all through history. And he wasn't into the woo-woo. He wasn't into aliens. He wasn't into even spiritualism all that much as a researcher and a writer. So he was put off. He wanted to follow the evidence where it led, but he didn't want to go there. So he put the book off for a couple of years. He said he finally finished it. He said he finally committed to it, and he finished it. And it's a fascinating read. And what he does is he goes through all of recorded history, and he points out some very interesting things that would appear to – it paints a picture of basically a non-human force, which he says through history seems to have changed hands, maybe or may not have changed hands. But what would appear is if the human race is some type of livestock and there are non-human interventional or non-human shepherds, owners. And he says he refers to them as the people of the serpent or the brotherhood of the serpent. And he uses this term just because of the symbology that they use. But he also suggests that throughout history, it appears as if perhaps ownership or management, at least, of the human herd has changed hands over time. But one consistent theme throughout the Gods of Eden that he points out very clearly is how there seems to be population culls throughout all of recorded history, as if there gets to be a time where the population gets to be too out of control, and the controllers come in and they need to cull the herd. And he points out several times in recorded history where there was a sort of dystopian end times fear, as there is today. I still think that what we're in today is much bigger than the ones in the history, but he does point out that this is nothing new. I'll use one example, which I think was one of the most interesting from the books, was he was pointing out during the Black Plague, if you go through the written testimony of people that lived through it and wrote about their experiences throughout Europe during the Black Plague, there are certain things that are repeated in throughout, you know, different people's testimony. And those things are basically three things. There was three things that were going to that sort of paint a certain picture. One is first people would see lights in the sky. Then they would see the figure of the death, with the thing we know as death now, with the robe and the sickle. And then fog would appear in the villages or the towns, and then people would start getting the plague. And this was documented by surviving witnesses and writers that were alive during the time. And, you know, I don't even think you need to say any more, but then he points out what that could be. It could have been the lights in the sky, could have been these craft coming down, the symbol of death. And that's where the symbol of death with the black robe and the sickle came from, was from people claiming to have describing seeing that on the outskirts of town. So William Bramley suggests that perhaps the robe is a biosuit and the sickle is some type of spraying device, some type of dispersion device that dispersed the plague to, you know, trim the population, to cull us, and to do it in a way, because we are an emotional, mental species. These things need to be sort of hidden from us and kept from us. Otherwise, we might be a little upset that we are livestock. And so anyways, that's one of many that he points out in this book that's been happening for a long time. Now, he is just covering recorded history. Now, you can get into even deeper stuff. People talk about lost civilizations or even ancient Egypt, the pyramids and the Sphinx, which seem to be much older than any of our recorded history tells us and much more advanced than we can even understand or explain. One of the theories, I believe, multiple, the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Hindus and several others believe that we have experienced this cycle many times before, that we have gotten to a point of technology, of mass population, and then a cataclysm happens. Something happens to set us back to zero. Not end the world, not end humanity, but, I mean, think about it. If you had something could happen today where you don't have to kill everyone, but if you destroy all the infrastructure, if you destroy, and it wouldn't necessarily take much if you have an imagination to do this. There have been cataclysms in the past, in the not too distant past, that are capable of doing this, you know, forcing us into this seclusion and safety of caves, perhaps. It doesn't matter if, you know, there could be rocket scientists and metallurgists and all kinds of clever people alive. If they don't have the, you know, the infrastructure, then we're set back centuries. You know, first we got to sort of reorganize, and then we got to, but that's a whole other, talk. But in my purview, it seems like that's where we might be at today. We might be at that point where this is the big one they want. This is the big one they want. And one thing for sure, it's a great time to be alive. Another thing is, it's just one of the many reasons why InfoWars stands out is we are one of, as far as a media outlet our size, and we're still, I mean, we're basically kind of a ma and pa, or a pa business. We're a bit of a pa business here. Then we have a pretty big reach. You know, I don't know anywhere else I could go to get people talking about talking about anything, talking about we're not afraid. We're not going to shy away from talking about anything. We're going to talk about what it looks like. We're going to say it as we see it. We're going to try our best to bring the truth to you. And this is why we need your help more than ever. We're still having our Black Friday special. Black Friday comes early special. We are entering into perhaps the most volatile election year in the history of this country. I think 2016 was nothing compared to what we're about to get into now. All bets are off. Anything is possible. We know that the deep state is willing to do anything. We know that unless something dramatic happens, unless we start seeing major arrests, then expect the worst. And that means not only keeping InfoWars alive, not only giving us your support, and we need your support. It's because of you that we've managed to stay in this long. And it's actually, and I've been lucky enough to be here throughout most of these heavy attacks. And it is impressive that we are still here and we're still strong, but we still need your support more than ever. And with that support comes great products for you. If you need clean water, and everyone needs clean water, you need to get water filtration. Need to get storable foods, any supplements. All of our supplements are fantastic, and they will make your life better, body, mind, and spirit. We can clean up our mind, make our body operate at its fullest. Then our mind is clear. And if our body and mind are clear, then our spirit can guide us.
The David Knight Show.
Welcome back to the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Greg Reese, sitting in for David Knight on this Friday morning. We've been talking about the distraught woman at the AOC town hall urging everyone to eat the children in order to save the environment. And we've been getting into how this is the expected outcome that you would expect from all this crazy hysteria. We're going to die in 10 years. We need to get rid of people. People are the problem. This anti-human push that's been going on for decades. Then we got into some kind of lofty stuff of UFOs and aliens and interdimensional beings, non-human entities perhaps guiding us down this line, which is really all we're talking about here, is the drama of good versus evil that's existed forever. You can learn about in the Bible and plenty of other spiritual scriptures. It's the story of Earth, the story of humanity, And so this final hour, we're going to get more into the politics, the current politics, the state of politics, and how this all connects with that. The next segment, we're going to play a video called Blueprint to Win 2020 Revealed. Bill Clinton is a rapist revisited. And you can find that on band.video. We're going to play that in the next segment. It'll sort of segue into all this, how we're going to fight and beat this year. So I think this is interesting. This is an article from American Thinker. As Biden falters, Hillary attacks Trump and positions herself to enter presidential race. And, Jones has been talking about this, you know, for maybe a year, and some people have alluded to it, but now it's becoming more mainstream accepted. I even heard on the radio show, I listened to a fairly middle of the road kind of mainstream radio show on the way to work. And they were talking about Hillary getting back in the race, which at this point seems like, what else are they going to do? You know, it's either that or throw in the towel. And so what does that mean? It's almost like 2016 revisited. It's almost like Rocky II. I don't know if that's a good reference. I'm not too familiar with the Rocky movies, but it's like a rematch. And so what is it going to be? Is it going to be lock her up and build the wall all over again? Is that going to work? Is it just going to be out of a desperation for this drama while we, I don't know. We also have President Trump says Adam Schiff committed treason, calls for arrest. So the language is getting, quite a bit stronger. Treason now. And this comes, you know, a week or less after a Democrat deep stater was talking about Trump committed treason, talking about how treason is punishable by death. So Trump follows that up. Trump's also talking about the corrupt media, no longer saying fake news, using the language is becoming stronger. And a lot of us, this is happening too slow. I know I was extremely impatient. I'm starting to get the feel for the pace, and I'm starting to understand the importance. Perhaps I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I can see why this might need to be moved a little bit slowly to sort of save us from the chaos. While the enemy tries to push us into the chaos, the right thing to do is to try to maintain our balance on every level and get through this. Another headline, Chinese communist media dubs Hong Kong protesters basket of deplorables. Where have we heard that before? Isn't that interesting? I mean, it kind of tells us, what is there a difference between the Chi-Coms and Hillary Clinton? Is it the same think tank? Is it the same power structure sort of running these? Yes, of course it is. The Chi-Coms is the model for the New World Order. It's their little poster child. After this break, we're going to go into this video and check out this video and start looking at how we can win the 2020 election. See you after the break.
Truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
And, you know, when I announced I was running...
The Predator! The media's covering it up!
No. Let him go. Let him go. No.
And the word out of Trump Tower, New York, is that
Bill Clinton is a rapist.
The Donald was not too happy. The Donald was not too happy about what I just said, right?
Bill Clinton is a rapist.
So with who had that to a bunch of things, Donald Trump was horrible.
worked for the Colorado State Democratic Party in 96. I was a national delegate for the 1996 Democratic National Convention. The first thing I saw was Hillary Clinton. She was outside on Monday or Tuesday saying, "This is Hillary. I'm outside the United Center. I can't wait to see everybody. I'll see you really soon." And so she thought the camera cut off, and then she just turned into the bipolar rage. She goes, "Take this effing mic," and threw it right at the cameraman's face. He goes, "Bam!" And you see the mic just fly right at the cameraman's face. And they showed it on the closed circuit. The Reverend Jackson said something I'll never forget. He said, "Watch his hands. Watch his hands." He was saying, "Watch the President of the United States' hands when he come by." Because I saw him up there. He was groping, fondling, and touching, reaching under all these women in front of everybody at this meeting. All these women that were on the executive committee of the DNC for the convention. Just open out all the media there. And the media saw the whole thing, right? So from the time Dick Morris went down in the tabloids until the time... Matt Drudge exposed Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton was a sexual predator gone wild, okay? And to have this guy back in the White House and to have all his employees exposed to him, they're all going to need rape whistles. If you elect Hillary Clinton and you put Bill Clinton back in the White House, they're all going to need rape whistles. Because what's he going to do all day except run around and do what he does?
If you want solutions, it's what you just saw.
It's time to reclaim our former greatness. It's time to be men again. And it's time to let all this scum know we're calling that bluff. Full speed. Ramming speed. Let's go.
We are rolling out the red carpet, not for Tucker, but for some adorable, adoptable dogs. Well, every year, the Best Friends Animal Society helps cats and dogs who are stuck in animal shelters find homes.
Bill Clinton is a rapist.
We've got
all we can fulfill our moral obligation to protect our planet for our children.
Nobody can dispute the fact
that you're a rapist.
That we need...
Bill Clinton is a rapist! Bill Clinton is a rapist!
Unity. Well, that didn't happen. Then Mike Pence was supposed to be there in his place alongside Ryan, and we've just learned that he's no longer attending. Jason Carroll is with me. Jason Carroll joins...
One protester had on a shirt with really a bit of an offense. I guess you could say it's an offensive image, certainly to the police officers who... Out very, very quickly. Other than that, very, very receptive crowd. She now goes to Ohio, where her lead is razor thin. She's got to win Ohio, guys.
People with disabilities, Muslims. I do hope somebody follows that gentleman out and stages an intervention. He clearly has not been following this election very closely.
The things that we really need to be looking at in this debate is that Bill Clinton is a rapist. Infowars.com. Infowars.com. Bill Clinton's a rapist. Bill Clinton okay. is a rapist.
All right.
Bill Clinton, rapist.
So he knew that he had a minute. Oh, no.
They were going to get a victory today.
Yeah, we came down here
for the rally.
Oh, actually, no. My girlfriend got me the shoes and the socks my aunt picked up in Seattle. And these are actually Chubbies, and I got these for the 4th of July. And I got this Hillary for Prison t-shirt. And I just want everyone to know about this, like, big presidential campaign that Bill Clinton is a rapist, Infowars.com.
No, he doesn't. No. He looks great. Wow. We're all going to Rickroll.
Exactly.
Sign me up.
Hillary for prison!
Hillary Clinton fired back at a heckler who was waving a Bill Clinton is a rapist sign.
I am sick and tired of the negative, dark, divisive, dangerous vision and behavior of people.
Just got to do this.
Bill Clinton!
Clinton is a rapist! Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick in a motel room!
Get out of here!
And when he was running for governor of Arkansas!
Yeah, because of Lolita Express!
And we described.
That's why! Talk about Weinstein, how you're related to Weinstein! We know it!
If you're in the city of Miami, Florida, you can head down to Florida National University Arena, and you can see the Hillary for Prison banners flying around high in the sky. So be sure to take your pictures, bring your Hillary for Prison t-shirts. You get those autographed, we'll send you a little something, something for that. And you can send all your pictures to writers@infowars.com. Also, you can send us your pics on Twitter.
The airport just behind us,
and yesterday,
a banner, and I believe it says
Hillary,
said,
it says Hillary for Prison 2016.
Right, that's not for Hillary Camp.
No, I don't think so.
All right, very good. We just saw.
Can you read it? There you go.
Good job, Chris Chula.
He's the camera operator, not the person who came up with the
app. He's not that clever.
The InfoWars Air Force has taken to the skies over Cleveland. We previously planned to have aircraft flying for all 4 days of the convention. But unfortunately, the Obama White House ordered the FAA for the first time in history to put up a 30-mile exclusion zone for all 4 days of the convention. They'd previously only done that on the last day of the convention. But that hasn't stopped us. The last 2 days, we've had the aircraft flying multiple times daily over Cleveland, and they're also going to be flying before the convention in Philadelphia. We have trucks also with the big banners driving around on the streets. We will not be censored. And, of course, there's also Hillary for Prison t-shirts that have taken the nation by storm at InfoWarsStore.com. And Google reports that it's been the number one meme off and on in the last month, even above things like Pokemon Go and the Brexit. That's right. The Hillary for Prison movement is only growing in the face of attempts to censor it. I'm Alex Jones reporting for InfoWars.com.
You like the Hillary for Prison banner?
I love it.
All right.
Yeah, I do.
You're a rapist!
No.
See what I mean?
After we make sure everybody gets a chance to participate, after we help families succeed in the most important job of any society, raising children, and succeed at work, how can we live together with all of our diversity so we can...
Areas that have been left out and left behind. Give me my hand. Wait. Do not boo this guy. They've had a very bad week, and so they're doing the best they can.
Bill Clinton is a rapist!
Young voters. And now one vocal critic of Bill Clinton's who wore a Hillary t-shirt to get inside the event had an outburst at one point calling the former president a rapist.
All right, we'll see you after this break. You are tuned in to the most banned broadcast in the world, InfoWars.com. I am your host, Greg Reese, hosting for David Knight and the David Knight Show today. So that last segment, we saw a video that you can see on banned.video. We had to cut it a little short because it didn't quite fit into the segment. You can see the whole thing at banned.video. The title of that video is Blueprint to Win 2020 Revealed. Bill Clinton is a rapist revisited. What I noticed in the very beginning of that video, they showed one of the recent Joe Biden crowds. And what I noticed, we're seeing this all the time now, is that the new crowds of the Democrat supporters are becoming unhinged and violent. Well, they become unhinged and violent, but we're now seeing it now at these presidential rallies. So if you plan on being a warrior and doing the good work that we are putting forth in this video, Be wary, be careful, watch your six, because these crowds have become crazy and they've become violent. And it's actually going to benefit us. The optics are going to help us, because if you noticed Biden desperately trying to calm down his crowd, it doesn't look very good for these Democratic presidential candidates when their crowd of supporters are just a bunch of insane mob, a massive insane mob. And that's what it's becoming. It's not political. It's not liberals versus Republicans. These people aren't liberals. It's not Democrat versus Republican. It's not, you know, the left versus the right. It is a spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. I mean, you could say good versus evil, but this paints the picture that everyone's evil. Evil is in all of us. We all have good and evil within us. So I would say it's more of a divide of the balanced and the imbalanced. And that's not to say that those of us on the side of the balanced are like perfect, or we're perfectly balanced. No, we're just simply imbalanced with maybe enough humility and enough enough understanding to understand that we are frail and asleep and awake, and we better pay attention. You know, a lot of I think some of the best wisdom comes from understanding your weaknesses and understanding how easily we can be duped into a sleepy trance. And so now, going into 2020, the Democrats, the deep state, have this sleeping trance population that they can now, that they're now starting to play all these experiments with, seeing how they can activate them, see if they can get any of them to just cause mayhem and violence. And sometimes it's just happening naturally. The woman at the AOC town hall saying now, with her new campaign, we have to eat the children to survive, with the media hype surrounding the Joker movie, as if they're trying to talk some mentally ill person into listening to the little voice in their head. It's become serious right now. So what we're seeing in this video here is one of the best ways to fight the sleeping masses. And that's what we need to do. The only way we're going to win this is to wake enough people up so where we're all together. Because basically, we all want the same things. Everybody wants a little justice. Everybody wants a little freedom. Everybody wants some fairness, at least some honesty, some transparency. It's just that the sleeping masses have been convinced that the establishment is the people and that the people is the establishment. It's been reversed on them. And there is no denying that. And so the best way to get through this and to see victory is to wake as many of these people up as possible. Obviously, we can't wake everyone up, and we don't need to wake everyone up. There are things like the 100th monkey effect. They say in the revolution, the American Revolution was won. Some people say only a third of the population was in support. Some people say much less than that. So not everyone, but as many people as possible. That's the game. That's the fight. That's what we're doing at InfoWars. That's how I came across InfoWars. Is I was pulled out of my slumber. I was pulled out of my sleepy trance and brought into the light. And I'll tell you what, a lot of spiritual traditions talk about enlightenment and waking up and becoming realized. I have a hard time thinking that what they're talking about is this. What they're talking about is just starting to recognize the world that we live in, recognizing the reality of the good and evil paradigm. And so going into 2020, Bill Clinton is a rapist worked brilliantly. Why did it work? Because Bill Clinton is a rapist. And because you don't have to look that hard to find out that Bill Clinton is a rapist. He's actually one of the better documented serial rapists that we know of. And that is why that T-shirt worked so well, is that it would, first of all, it's a bit of a blow to someone who's asleep, because Slick Willie was a bit of a charmer. He had charm. He had the smile. He could talk to people. He could woo people. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a fundamental lesson that we all need to learn, is that, I mean, I don't know how to say it in a way that sounds positive or whatever, but you can't go through life trusting people that you don't know. We can't just trust public figures because they smile and because they say nice things. We're seeing that all the time now. Ed Buck, the friend of the Democrats, finally arrested after, I think, the third black man that he killed in his apartment with drugs and sexual perversions. Ed Buck wore a cute little bow tie and always had a cute little charming smile. Looked like a harmless little guy. And same as Bill, same as most of these characters. Hillary's another perfect example. Oh, isn't Hillary just the sweetest old mom? You know, there she is, old Hillary and Buck. I mean, how could they possibly, how could they hurt a fly? How could they be, you know, you crazy, crazy conspiracy theorists talking about all this crazy stuff when all you have to do is just look into it a little bit. You'll find out. Who knows? Maybe once you start looking in long enough, you'll cultivate a natural distrust for anyone who has the ear-to-ear grin. Always smiling, always charming. I mean, that is the that's the game, isn't it? It's always been the game. The psychopath, the sociopath who wants to be invited into your home, the vampire who wants to be invited into your home, isn't going to do it by being scary. They're going to do it by softening you up and charming you and wooing you. And this is how, as simple as it is, this is how so many of our fellow brothers and sisters have been duped into following along with this. It's just that simple. Put on a happy face, put on a smile, and tell the lies. People are going to prefer the comfortable lie over the truth. We're going to play, after this break, we're going to start off with that video one more time that we've been hammering all day today, the distraught woman at AOC Town Hall, because this is a perfect example. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. It's so easy to block it out. It's so easy to put your head in the sand because we don't want to hear horrible things about eating our children. We don't want to hear about Planned Parenthood selling living infants for body parts. We don't want to hear this stuff. We'd much rather just hide our heads from it, put on the TV show, ignore it, and pretend everything's good. But that is not the way to walk through this life if you want to have any free will and any freedom whatsoever. We'll catch you after this break.
Defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
We're not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response. Okay,
thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
No, we'll go ahead. It's so no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think yeah, no. So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
She could have simply said, "Oh, ma'am, please, we don't need to eat our babies. Please, that's horrendous. It's horrible." No, she said, yeah, no, you know, she empathized. She could appreciate the sentiment. She wasn't even at that loss of that much of a loss of words. I mean, that's what they want. They want to turn these people into into weapons rather than help. And the thing is so many of these people, we were just talking in the last segment about the sleeping masses and stuff. What they do is they put their faith in pop culture. I call it pop culture because it's become that. Like, it's not just the news. It's not just the media. It's late-night talk shows. It's late-night comedy shows. It's pop music. It's pop culture. And I guess the idea is that it's a comfortable idea to think that pop culture is nothing more than a reflection, an honest reflection of reality, an honest reflection of mankind on Earth. And that's, you know, I was there at one point. And but you know what? It's more comforting to live in the light and to live in transparency and seeking the truth rather than putting your faith in these vampires who are seeking nothing but destruction and power. She even says in response to "We Need to Eat the Children," AOC says, "We need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months." But not really. I think AOC doesn't understand it. This woman seems to be a little more educated than she does on the matter. Not a whole lot more than a few months. If it's 10 years, 10 years is arguably a few months. And what are we going to do except kill millions and billions of us? Just like the Georgia Guidestones states, among many other things. Georgia Guidestones says we need to maintain the population under 500 million. What does that mean? That means there are billions and billions. That means there's about 7 billion too many people right now. That is a ambitious endeavor. How are they going to kill 7 billion people? I guess we need to start weaponizing everyone and turning us against each other and pulling out all the stops and trying everything. And so that's what we've been talking about this whole time. How did this woman get here? I think it's fairly clear that this is a mentally ill person and who is being ignored. And, you know, her delusions allowed to just metastasize and get worse. And then now she's fueled by the mainstream narrative and the pop culture that we're all going to die in 10 years, that humans are the problem, that all, you know, that we're already starting to talk about cannibalizing the dead. And now she's taking it to the logical next step. So once again, if you want to learn how we can come at this in the next year in this fight, if we don't all get involved, then we're just here to watch it all fall apart, because that's what we deserve if we're not going to somehow get involved. If we're just going to be witnesses to this, sure, that's an extraordinary experience to have, but is that why we are alive? Are we alive just to watch something happen passively and not do anything? And so if you go to ban.video and you watch Blueprint to Win 2020 Revealed, Bill Clinton is a Rapist Revisited, share it on social media. The message that this gets across is that we still live in a real world. We've been so conditioned with social media on Facebook and social media. We've been living the life of luxury where we can basically just stay home and isolate ourselves, never make contact with another human being. We feel like we're getting our contact through social media, but it really isn't the same as physical contact that we are used to for millions of years as humans, at least thousands of years. And so now more than ever, this is just a great way to actually break the conditioning. Anything out of the normal. For example, yesterday we had three llamas in the studio. Alex Jones had four llamas in the studio, and you could feel it. It was just weird, and that's kind of the purpose of it. It was just weird and out of the ordinary, and it kind of brought you into the present moment, as things do. If you throw a wrench into the normal thought process thing, something strange and out of the ordinary, then it will have a tendency to snap someone into the present moment and out of their little daydreams, out of their little fantasies. You know, we can operate completely through the day in our fantasy heads. That's what this whole brainwashing thing depends on, is to sort of keep us in our thoughts and out of the present. That's the purpose of the bullhorn. Alex Jones made his bones with the bullhorn 20 years ago. The bullhorn is a phenomenal tool to snap people out of their slumber. Bullhorn them. You can get bullhorns. I believe we have them. If we don't have them, then easy to find. Bullhorn your local community. Show up to these rallies. I mean, Bill Clinton is a rapist revisited. That's something we could even be seeing going into this 2020 election. Is Hillary Clinton really going to run? I'll tell you this much. If she doesn't go to jail, or if her, you know, former colleagues don't start going to jail, if we don't start seeing some kind of dramatic justice like this, then Hillary Clinton will be running in 2020, and it's not going to be as easy as people might think. For one, there's a lot of not just sleeping brainwashed people that will follow along, but there's a lot of dark people. There's a lot of people that are following the dark side. They want this to happen. They want to save the planet, and they want to do it through destruction of the human race. That is a real thing. And so if we don't see some type of swift justice, and the other reason it's not going to be an easy takedown is because if that happens, you know, Trump won on building the wall and draining the swamp, specifically Hillary Clinton. So if those things aren't accomplished, and if there's no evidence that they've really been even close to being accomplished, then that's going to weaken the Trump push. I mean, I don't think anyone's in their right mind is going to vote for Hillary, but it's just going to make the thing a lot more difficult. So we have to prepare for that, though. We have to prepare for that. And the way we do it is we need to wake as many people up as possible. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get outside and engage people to do this. See you after the break. Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Greg Reese, sitting in for David Knight today on this Friday. We're about to wrap it up. This is our final segment of the day. And stay tuned in for the Alex Jones Show starting at 11 o'clock. So we were talking all day about this. The theme of the show is this distraught woman at the AOC town hall urging everyone that we must start eating our babies to fight climate change. And we've been talking about this is obviously the sort of predictable, desired result of this whole we're going to die in 10 years, there's too many people thing that's been going on recently. And for decades, we've been hearing about too many people, population control. And if you go back in time long enough, you'll see that this has always been a recurring theme throughout, you know, all of time, cyclical. And it would even seem as if this is the big moment, once again, that humanity has been up against several times in the past and failed. That's the bad news. We were talking earlier about how many ancient traditions talk about the rise and fall of civilizations. Some people say it's the cycle has happened five times. I think I've heard like four or five times. The bad news is that those every single last time we have failed and fallen again. So we're there again. And the apocalypse, you know, the Bible predicted that this would happen. And it's like Alex Jones always says, he reads the white papers. That's how he's not smart or brilliant. He just reads their papers and knows what they're up to. And at first, it might be a bit of a mystery to you why, you know, how the Bible was able to be so prophetic. But I think with enough experience, knowledge, and information, you can see that it's not that tricky to predict these things. It's just the way things are going to inevitably unfold due to the way things are set up and the way the story is. So the apocalypse is happening right now. Apocalypse simply is translated as the revealing, the lifting of the veil, if you will. And we're at a time right now where the curtain is being pulled back, and we're at a time where we're able to experience more of the truth than we have in the past. Does that mean more of us are waking up? I would say that probably suggests that more of us are waking up and becoming present, becoming more aware. But what's also interesting is it seems to have the opposite effect on other people. Like I was talking to this recently with some friends, and it seems like, yes, we're in a great awakening. Those of us who have experienced this awakening are becoming more awake, maybe more humble, maybe more knowledgeable, and more people are waking up. But those that are resistant of the awakening, those that are deeply asleep, seem to be falling deeper asleep, seem to be falling more insane. Some even coming up with their own kill the children to save the planet campaigns. So it's an interesting time, and it is more important than ever to wake people up, to spread our links, spread Infowars.com links, spread the band.video links. We still have a fighting chance. You look at the news out of Hong Kong, you know, every time I had the great fortune to be able to go out with Savannah Hernandez and our cameraman Drew to go to Hong Kong. And every time it comes up, I always have the same answer. It was easily one of the best experiences of my life. And I wish I was still there. I mean, I feel I'm almost often at a loss for words. You know, the simplest way to put it is that this was a population of people that weren't divided. They were all united. They understood that freedom was good and that communism was bad, and there was no confusion there. And that's something that my heart really envies. That's something that I would really love to see in my own country. I would love to see that. And the sad thing is in America, we are on the same page. We are all fed up with the establishment. Like I said earlier, though, it's just that some of us have been tricked and manipulated into thinking that basically the Patriot movement is the establishment, which is kind of hard to believe, but it's been achieved. Anything's possible, I guess. And what is happening to Hong Kong now? I mean, the police just announced they were going to start killing protesters. And within, I don't know, 48 hours of that, someone got shot in point blank range in the chest. And so there is no more question of what they're going to do about the protests. They are going to shut it down. They're going to claim Hong Kong. And there's nothing that anyone can do about it, it seems. And this is what awaits everyone. This is what I have a feeling that a lot of this, if not all of this, is going to be dependent on the outcome of the United States of America. The United States of America is the only country that has the First and Second Amendments, inalienable rights that can't be taken away. Say what you will about our forefathers. For all I know, they might have all been scumbags. I don't care. I have no emotional attachment to them. I don't even know who they are. But what they did do, even if that was the only good thing they did, that was good enough. What they did do is they gave us the First and the Second and made them inalienable. And to be honest, I don't even think we've used them. I think they gave us something a couple hundred years ago to be sort of utilized at a future time in space. And we're at that time right now. So if we can effectively take the laws that we were given and restore the Republic, more than that, maybe even reinvigorate it, improve upon it, experience more freedom and liberties than mankind has ever experienced, I think, in recorded history. If we can achieve that, I think it's inevitable that the rest of the world is going to follow suit, because the rest of the world is struggling right now with the globalist threat. What the news here is the news everywhere. Everyone's up against the same thing. So if America can win, if America can prove how the simple and beautiful laws in place of having freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom to own a weapon that equalizes us and sets a level playing field for everyone, if we can prove how effective and powerful this is by actually pulling ourselves out of this and bringing ourselves into an age of liberation, everyone else is going to do it too. It'll be 1776 worldwide. It's a no-brainer. However, if we fail, then the whole world fails with us. I really think it's all eyes are on the United States of America. And it's a global thing that's happening. And that's why it is more important than ever to support. InfoWars stands alone in this. I don't even think we're a political organization. We are an organization that seeks to expose the truth, that seeks to question everything, and that seeks to exercise and celebrate our First and Second Amendments. And so the best way for the average person or for anyone to get involved in this fight and to support this fight and to do their due diligence in this great time to help win and find victory is to support the InfoWars, period. Because we need your support. However, we do make it much easier than that, and we have products that you can buy. And by buying these products, you support us, and by buying these products, you support yourself. We have incredible products. If you don't already get our toothpaste on AutoShip, everyone needs to brush their teeth. I hope everyone out there is brushing their teeth. So everyone who isn't doing that already, there's no reason in the world not to get our excellent, healthy, fluoride-free toothpaste on AutoShip. Job done. You're taking care of your own chores and you're helping support the InfoWars. You can also add to that other staples, like if you drink coffee, we have great coffee. I spent years trying different coffees, and I'm extremely happy with the InfoWars coffee. That's what I drink every morning. Vitamin Mineral Fusion. If you're someone who believes in taking vitamin supplements, now that's, you know, I'm not arguing that. I mean, I do. And our Vitamin Mineral Fusion, I think, is fantastic. I've taken vitamin supplements for years, and I've taken them and stopped taking them. And one of the reasons I stopped taking them is because I often feel like I don't feel anything, and so I don't even know if this is working. I've always been kind of skeptical of vitamin mineral supplements. However, I've been taking ours since I started working here, and one of the things that's unique about it is it's in powder form. I don't know if that's why it's more effective, but it's the only time I've ever taken a vitamin mineral supplement where I can actually feel the effects of it. Like I don't take our energy products. I have pretty good energy already, but I do take in the afternoon, I will often take the Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and that does give me a burst of energy. So really, it's a win-win situation, and we need you more than ever, and we're going to be harping on this all year because we are going into war. We are going into probably the biggest battle that InfoWars has ever been engaged in. We are marked as the number one enemy of the deep state right now in all of media. The InfoWars is real. We're doing it with your support. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned for the Alex Jones Show starting at 11 a.m. Spread the links. Thanks for your support.